You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hump Day is here. Finally getting to that point of the weekend. Getting a little bit closer. This is The Drive, Fan Run Radio. I'm Trey Wallace. Appreciate everybody joining in today. Got a great show lined up. Nick Dellatore covers the Florida Gators. Going to come on at 3:25. Talk about the COVID positive cases in Gainesville with the football team. How they're handling it. Athletic director had it. Talk about that with him. Also get an update on what's going on with the Florida Gators as we get closer to fall camp starting up. 4:25, my man Nick Bromberg is going to join us. We're going to talk college football, and we're going to talk NASCAR, too, because tonight's a Bristol All-Star race.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Probably throwing a little baseball. I
keep forgetting they put that on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's going to be weird because it's at Bristol tonight. So, Bear, good afternoon to you, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Trey.
Yeah? Making it? Everything good?
Yeah.
Good, man.
Fun. Catching up on all the, a lot of news popping off this afternoon in the world of sports.
There was a lot of stuff popping off this morning, and then, yeah, late this afternoon, Davey Hudson in the house as well.
Hey, Bear.
Hello, Davey.
How are you today?
I am doing just fine.
Good to hear from you.
Looks like the Titans are closing in on a deal with Derrick Henry, Bear and Davey.
I'm having to monitor that situation. I might be having to record another show tonight. I did not expect that to happen, but yes, they have until 4 o'clock to reach a long-term deal. Derrick Henry currently set to play on the franchise tag, which would pay him around $10.278 million for this coming year. And if obviously they get that deal done, that'll be interesting to see, but we can get into that a little bit later in the show. But, yeah, Schefter, Ian Rappaport, both reporting that it looks as though the Titans and Derrick Henry will reach a long-term deal before the 4 p.m. deadline today.
I don't get the whole 4 p.m., like, why that's the cutoff. Why can't it be, like, 6? Why the hell has it got to be 4?
I don't have an answer for you on that one, yeah, Trey. For those wondering, though, it is just for players that are currently franchise tagged.
Okay.
That's all that relates to as far as signing a long-term extension.
Okay, that makes sense. Bear, what did you get into last night? Did you watch anything interesting?
No. Uh-uh. I went to bed really early last night. No. I mean, I watched a little bit of news, and then what did I watch? Nothing good, because I can't even remember what the hell I watched.
Okay, then it wasn't good enough then.
No, huh? I can't remember what it's called. I think it's on Travel Channel. It's Fair Food.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Crazy Foods of the Fair. There's a show where they go around all the different like fairs in America, and they kind of show the whacked out food that these people come up with.
It's like that dude that went around the country, that goes around the country and tries all the crazy food. I don't know what his name is. Kind of ball-headed dude.
Yeah, no, that guy goes around the world. I can't watch that. That guy eats, like, disgusting stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's like the nastiest stuff ever. Now, this stuff, it always kind of looks pretty good. A lot of it I probably wouldn't try. There's always some twist on it. That right at the end, or you know, it's looking good up until a point, and you're like, yeah, no, I can't do that.
So, goodness gracious.
The weirdest one I've seen is fried butter.
Ugh, no, absolutely not. I know how that would taste.
I mean, you put enough sugar and cinnamon on it, I'm sure it probably tastes pretty good. But, you know, I don't know how good for it is, how good it would be for you. From a cardiovascular standpoint, so.
No, that would be bad. So, rolling along today, University of Tennessee, they didn't announce. Here's the thing. We were expecting the University of Tennessee to announce numbers. I was today. because they got their test back on Monday. Most of them did that night. We're going to get into this today a little bit. The fact that it took over a week to get test results back for most of these people, players,
that's coaches. Pretty quick, honestly.
Yeah, but you're going to have to hear me out here. How the hell are you going to do it in a week, but then you got college football season that's going to roll around and fall practice, and you think you're going to be allowed a week to get results back? Absolutely not. Florida was popping them things off quick, and that's why I want Nick to come on, because they had their health system taking care of the test. So Tennessee coaches, players, whatnot, don't find out for a week. And here's another thing also that people need to realize, and I said this earlier today, not all player results have come back, because you had different players return on Sunday and on Monday. So not everybody has gotten their results back yet. It's something to keep an eye out on. So you had multiple tests. You had multiple tests, positive. And you knew this was going to happen. I mean, Bear, we've been talking about it since July 4th weekend. We knew that when players came back, they were going. Some of them were going to test positive.
Well, yeah, I mean, just the odds.
Right.
Just look at the numbers. So,
I was surprised that they did not release the numbers. Like, they were all hell-bent on releasing. We have had no testing of positive. We had one GA. That's it. First go-around. They were all about it then. Yeah, well, yeah, let's put them out. We didn't have anybody test positive. But now you have players test positive, and now you're getting told that you can't put it out. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, why are you backtracking now? Like, you already released the good stuff, but now once the bad stuff comes up, you want to try to hide it. I don't agree with that part, Bear. Like, period. Either way, I don't care if it's good, bad, or whatever. If you've already set the standard of putting out your results, why not just do the negative as well? I know the number. It's not crazy. But I'm just saying.
I figured it was in line with most of the other universities.
It kind of is. But I just.
The thing that caught me off guard about it was that they said there were across multiple sports.
Right.
And they didn't specifically, you know, address football, but.
That's a real easy way to say and take all the probably Davey would agree, by saying across multiple sports. It's really a good term to use in PR when a majority of them were in the football program.
Yeah, it'll obviously add a lot to the number of people just being tested in general, and then you don't – I know they're not actually giving out the specifics, but it's – it'll – I don't know, man. Like, I
– yeah.
Whenever you're looking at the testing, obviously a week in terms of what most people, just your average everyday American citizens getting, that's actually pretty fast. I know a lot of people, it's usually taking them between 13 to 15 days before they get their results back. But honestly, like, for a lot of these players testing positive now, that's not a bad thing if you're wanting football. Because if you wait and let's say everything goes off without a hitch and you get into the season and then all of a sudden you get your first case, it's likely going to sweep through at a faster rate. Just because no one has had it before, there's no immunity within the team. So if you have some players getting it now, which there's been no serious signs reported as far as symptoms, right? I mean, everything's low grade.
They're not going to, yeah.
But I mean, like, if it's something serious, surely we're going to hear, like, oh, man, someone's at the hospital. It's
right. Yeah.
It's this, so.
I don't think any of them have been hospitalized. I had heard you know, some rumors. One of the basketball players that tested positive had gotten, you know, not talking hospitalized, but it was extremely sick with it.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't quite get the part. I'm not. I don't understand the part of releasing it first and not releasing it now. that part doesn't make sense. You're not hiding anything. I mean, hell, Florida came out yesterday and released how many they have. And then also, I do think there's some mitigation when it comes to numbers. Try not to make it look as bad where they can get to fall camp. I think that's pretty obvious. Look around the country. And also the way I look at it, too, is we're in a time frame. First of all, I think y'all would both agree with me. They had one test. They're going to have to do another test this week of the same players.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
because it gets in their system. You don't know how long it takes to get in their system, so you have to do another one.
I mean, you just keep testing them. I mean, that's what happened with Jimmy Johnson. Tested positive, and they just kept testing him, and he was negative a couple days later.
Yeah, my man was, he got that out. He must have, biked 25 miles, got it out of his system. But no, I agree with you. I just think that this was bound to happen, and now that it has happened, I kind of don't agree with the way that it was done when it comes to bringing it to light, because again, you can't gloat about your positivity but then try to hide the negativity. It's kind of how I feel. Right, wrong, whatever. You can feel however you want to feel about it. It's not like they're releasing players or coaches' names who have it. And that's kind of where I was getting at with it.
Like, I mean, in my opinion, I know I kind of just said it, but if you're wanting a football season, it's better to get it now. And then in 3 weeks, you've already had a lot of the guys kind of get over the hump. I mean, we talk about Clemson. They've had over 40 players test positive. We're not hearing anything bad coming out of there.
That's because none of their damn players have came back yet.
But still, I mean, if half of them get it now, by the time the season lines up, they won't have to worry about getting somebody else sick on another team. If it's already gone through everyone, they won't have to cancel any games on their end.
Wait a minute, they could be.
That's not entirely accurate.
Yeah, they can get it.
They aren't sure.
It's so here's right now, getting COVID-19 twice is not a thing. There have been some studies that show it still stays in your system from the original infection. But it's not you're getting the virus again and spreading it for the second time.
Yeah, but there's the ability to still have it in your system. We don't that's know.
That's how a lot of coronaviruses work, though.
Right. I mean, I know one professional boxer who had it for 3.5 weeks stayed in the system. It's just,
some people have it, and I mean, they'll test negative, but they're still symptomatic, 60 days later.
I don't. Can you send me an article on that?
I could refer you back to our numerous podcasts with Bill Maurice from the Mayo Clinic.
He did say that. Yeah, I do remember him saying that.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm going off a lot of it. What he's told us, results of studies they've done up at the Mayo Clinic, but. I don't know. Like the herd immunity may not be a thing with this virus. In fact, they highly doubt that, short of a vaccine that we'd, and just the numbers to reach.
And I think also
herd immunity.
Right. And I think, look, also it's a story in Knoxville today because these are Tennessee football players. This is not like we're in. It's not like we're at Clemson, or in Tuscaloosa or whatnot, per se. So it's all. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's going to be tough. The University of Michigan. We're going to get. We're going to talk COVID more. University of Michigan. Put out today, Bear, their ticket policy if they're able to have a 2020 football season, Bear. And we're going to get into this, but this part's interesting. There will be no football season tickets. Status as a season ticket holder remains unchanged, and season ticket locations will be retained for the 21 season. They also go on to say, if Michigan is able to have fans at the stadium, all home games will be sold on an individual game basis with sales limited to current season ticket holders and students.
Huh.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting, Davey. There'll be no ticket sales to the general public. So okay, if they do go on sale, they're only going to go on sale to season ticket holders.
Trey, you're an Alabama guy. Did you hear that the Alabama Crimson Tide are also moving to mobile tickets only?
I saw that. In the state.
So what's that mean? Like 95% of the population is going to actually drive to Mobile to get their tickets?
That's pretty good, actually. No, that's a pretty cool one. I haven't heard that one yet. That's pretty good. I don't know how they'll do it at Alabama or Auburn. I hate it for UAB. I hate it for South Alabama, my school, breaking in a new stadium. Bear, when we're talking about – so they say right here, details regarding a potential individual game sale will be communicated once a decision playing with or without fans. Pretty much they're saying, Bear, regular season, regular people, you know, that just buy tickets – in general, can't get them. They're also saying if you're a season ticket holder, you'll be able to purchase tickets, but you got to go get in the queue like everybody else.
I don't know. Like at this point, with what all's going on, that the whether or not anybody, you know, the ticket, anybody getting into the games is almost secondary. Just because I think we're really on the edge of whether or not we're even going to be able to have, you know, college football, much less with fans. I'm just haven't even really spent that much time, you know, after the past few weeks of what's, you know, the way it surged across the country, have even thought about whether or not fans are going to be there. I've been more, you know, just focused on how they're going to be able to pull this off.
I expect, well, I mean, if you're just looking at it right now, the sign that no one, I mean, you've had a couple of schools, well, this isn't a school, but Philadelphia, they've said that they're not even going to have fans for the Phillies and
the whole
Eagles.
City?
Yeah.
Damn.
So, like, that's just a citywide mandate basically saying you're not going to be able to come watch these games. But again, for a lot of these college towns, I mean, they're not exactly a metro hotspot, you know, as far as just the amount of people that live in them. Now, granted, like in the SEC, Knoxville's bigger than most of the average SEC cities. Obviously, Vanderbilt's in Nashville, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
That sucks. If you're in Philadelphia, you can't go to a sporting event. Can't go to an Eagles game if you're allowed to. Flyers, well, that wasn't going to happen anyways. Phillies.
Guess you could travel to Canada.
Philadelphia
actually,
Union.
Canada's border's still technically closed, so you couldn't go watch them over there if you wanted to.
No, I can't go to Canada and watch a damn game.
No, you can't right now. The border's closed.
Yeah, that's not going to open up anytime soon. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about that. Then it's not like they're closing down, you know, anything and everything. I feel like that's a bad precedent on the rest of the country. You know what I miss, man? I miss freaking concerts. Like I miss those type of things. And that's why, you know, more so too, I'd like to be able to cover some college basketball. And the way things are going right now, I feel like college basketball, it's going to be tough. You ain't going to be able to get fans in. Maybe a couple thousand spread out, like completely spread out around TBA. That's the only way I can think of it. And also, I think with what we saw with Michigan today and their ticketed policy, don't expect many Tennessee fans in Neyland if you're able to play college football this fall. Lots of things to get through. We're going to take a break. Nick Dellatore, GatorCountry.com, is going to join us. We're going to have a discussion on this, talk about what's going on in Gainesville with COVID cases as well, what in the world Dan Mullen's doing nowadays as they prepare for the season. We'll do that and more. Catch up with Nick on the other side. It's a Drive, Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Back on the drive, FanDuel Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville. You know, usually this time of week and year, we're supposed to be either in Birmingham or Atlanta, hanging out, doing karaoke, listening to coaches talk about nonsense, go on rants for a while. I was kind of excited because of Mike Leach this year and Kiffin to kind of see what they'd say. Dan Mullen, Jeremy Pruitt, we kind of know what we get out of that. So if I can't have SEC Media Days, I will just bring it to Knoxville. So that's why I call my good buddy Nick Delatorre from GatorCountry.com. Nick, what up, dude?
I don't know if I can give you a Mike Leach rant or a Kiffin burn, but glad to be here.
Yeah, I bet you are, man. Seems like you've been kind of busy the last 2 days, so nothing else going on in the world, right?
Yeah, no sports, but plenty to talk about the last 2 days, for sure.
No kidding. So what? Okay, so Tennessee releases today. Well, let me rephrase that. Tennessee didn't release anything. It was put out by us media members here in Knoxville, and then Tennessee confirmed they had multiple cases, when at first they inside talk was they were going to release the numbers of COVID cases. So the numbers were actually brought out to light in Gainesville yesterday. So I kind of want to get your opinion on where things stand and how you think the university has done when it comes to being proactive and getting out in front of it and putting numbers out there and trying to figure out how to go about this situation, especially with Strickland holding a press conference.
Yeah, so Florida hasn't really put numbers out there, but they've. Whenever we talk to somebody, they're very forthcoming when we ask. Right. So it's not like they're, you know, just releasing it anytime that someone tests positive. But we've had, you know, I think we've talked to Scott Strickland twice and Dan Mullen twice, and we even had a meeting with the two of the heads of the sports health department. So we've gotten kind of steady updates on that, and I think Florida's doing a good job handling it. They're in a really fortunate situation with Chan's Hospital and UF Health right there. We were told by the sports health directors that Chan's and UF Health have close to 30% of the tests in the state. So there's no worry about the players, you know, getting tested and getting their test results back. Scott Strickland told us that he had tested positive for coronavirus last month, and he got his test result back in 24 hours. And I know I saw you saying that some of the tests are, you know, taking 5, 6, 7 days to come back. You know, that just hasn't been the case for Florida. And I think the quicker you get, okay, he's positive, who has this guy been around, and you can kind of quarantine them and maybe, you know, quell the spread of it, you know, it's probably going to be better for you and for your football team.
Well, I mean, I look at the situation, Nick, and so explain to folks when you say, because there is a difference, when you say the University of Florida is getting back their test results a lot quicker, explain how they're doing that. I mean, I know how they're doing it, but they have like they have their own health system right there on campus where they're getting this done. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it's Shands is the hospital that is connected with Florida. It's really a teaching hospital, but it's one of the biggest hospitals in the state of Florida, and that's also with UF Health. So it's basically UF hospital that's right there. And because of their size, they have the actual test. And I think the number, like I said, the number that we had gotten from Florida's health directors were that they had just that hospital has about 30% of the tests in the state of Florida. And obviously they're sending them out and they're distributing them. But if you've got student athletes right there in town, that ease of access to get them is there for Florida. So I think that's even more so than Florida State or UCF or, you know, just when the schools went down the road. I think Florida is more uniquely capable to handle coronavirus, maybe more so than definitely the schools in the state. I can't speak for, you know, Tennessee, Alabama, like that. But Florida, just with that hospital, is more uniquely better off to handle this than other schools, which is fortunate for them.
So the problem that we run into, Nick, is we were having a text conversation about this and trying to bring this to light. You know, if it takes Tennessee a week to get a lot of these people tested last Monday, last Tuesday. A lot of them didn't find out till Monday night, last night. If it's taking a week to get some of these test results back, and let me rephrase that, most of these test results back, that's not going to fly once fall camp starts and then we potentially have a season. Like, they're going to have to try to mitigate this and figure out a way, because also, correct me if I'm wrong, you're going to have to test these players on Monday, and then you're probably going to have to test them again on Thursday just to see if they're able to play that weekend, right?
I mean, do you have to test them on game day? If you play at noon, do they, you know, I guess Thursday, if the turnaround time is 48 hours, but yes, certainly. You know, we're talking about, you and I just privately, we're talking about the test results because Florida is becoming the epicenter of coronavirus. Down in South Florida, where there's a lot more people than where we are here in Alachua, in Miami-Dade County, they're taking 10, 13, 14 days to get stuff back. And I told you, hey, Miami-Dade had 15,000, or Florida has 15,000 new cases. I was like, those were people who took the test before the 4th of July. Like, that's the turnaround time. So, you know, we're not even talking about if people went out and had 4th of July barbecues and parties and you know, and it was spreading them. We might get a day even bigger than that in Florida. But when you're talking about football, yeah, you got to figure out the turnaround time, because I would say if we get to a point where we're playing games, and I would love to do that because I would love to keep my job.
It's true.
I think you're going to have to test, like you said, twice a week. But what's the point of testing twice a week if I'm testing you on Monday and I'm not going to get that test result back until next Tuesday, you know, 8 days later? Well, what does that do? Well, now I'm using your test from last week for this week's game. I don't know. Like I said, with Florida, lucky that they're getting the test turned around within 48 hours, I think, at the max. But certainly, you got to figure out, and we're not going to have a vaccine. Like, that's not going to happen. No. The FDA's never approved a vaccine for any kind of flu. And we're certainly not going to have it by the time football is going on. So, like, that talk of, you know, I've heard athletic directors mention it. Well, if we have a vaccine, that's not happening. We just need reliable, speedy testing where you can go and take a test on Monday and get a result back by Tuesday or Wednesday at the latest, 48 hours. Because that's what, you know, to have, everyone keeps saying, we want to have an avenue to play safely. Then you need to know that you're getting the test results back. And frankly, the test results are accurate because apparently we can't even count it in the state of Florida. I don't know if you've seen all that mess too now.
Oh, congratulations, yeah, bud.
Yeah, where like the several laboratories are reporting like 98 to 100% of COVID tests are all positive.
Yeah, Orlando Health said, I think the report was, they came out that 98% of the tests were positive, and then they were like, oh, no, we meant 9.2. I was like, what?
Slightly off.
You were off by you were off by 91%? What do you mean? Yeah, so we're having trouble here in Florida. We had hanging chads in 2000, and that's, we can't, true, count COVID cases now. So just leave us alone. We'll figure it out.
Well, Nick, to transition to a place where you all have actually done really well at recently, the football field, how are you expecting the Gators to do this year if we'll say we keep the current schedule as is and they play all 12 games?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think – so for me, I'm looking at Florida, and you look at them in Mullen's first year, 10 wins, last year, 11 wins. Really, for me, I think Tennessee's going to be improved. I'm looking at that Kentucky game, too. I think Kentucky, Stoops has really played Florida well. But to me, when it comes down to it, the monkey in the room is Georgia and getting over the hump in Jacksonville. I think it's Florida and Georgia in the East again. I know your listeners probably won't enjoy hearing that.
No, but it's a fair assessment.
But Dan Mullen needs to beat Georgia. And he learned from Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer didn't lose to Florida State. Didn't lose to Tennessee. He didn't lose to Georgia. Dan Mullen starts off, whether he wins 10, 11 games again, if he starts off 0-3 in his career against Georgia, he's going to have some very unhappy people. And I think that's, you know, I think he understands that too. He's part of the reason why the expectations are so high among Florida fans. Obviously Spurrier and then the Urban years are where, you know, Florida fans expect to be. And Dan helped create that. So I think he embraces that and understands it. So he should know, if I lose to Georgia this year, not a hot seat talk, but people are not going to be happy with me.
People are just going to be pissed. I mean, that's a game that you expect to at least be competitive at. And even in a sense, maybe win one every other game. You know what I mean? Flip years. You know, so I get the argument.
Flip years. I mean, you lose Jake Fromm, and you look at how many people. I mean, Georgia's losing so much. And when you look at Florida, yeah, they lose a lot. But, especially, they lose five receivers. But you look at the guys that they come back with Tony and Copeland. And I think Kyle Pitts is probably the front runner for the John Mackey Award as the best tight end in the country. He's just a problem to deal with. And then you get Lorenzo Lingard, a former five-star running back who transferred in and got an immediate eligibility waiver from Miami. So you get five offensive linemen back. I always say, though, like if the offensive line was bad, and they were bad last year, Florida could not run between the tackles against, north, south, western, easterly state. Didn't matter who they were playing. They weren't running the ball between the tackles. So I don't know if it's good or bad to take a bad offensive line and bring them all back, but they're at least experienced. And then the defense, I mean, they've got it's a typical Florida defense. So when I look at Florida, I'm thinking, this is your year. Georgia's probably reloading a little bit, going to be working in a brand-new quarterback, either Newman or JT Daniels, and they've got some turnover on the coaching staff. Florida really doesn't have to deal with that. That's another thing with the coronavirus. I'm looking at Florida, and, I mean, LSU, I think Ed Orgeron was like the Will Smith meme from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah. Like after they won the national championship, and he looks around and he's like, where'd everyone go? So you look at these teams, and Florida just has that continuity. And if you're talking about, hey, we're already in, July, and we're only doing voluntary workouts, how much, if you're working in a new offensive coordinator, are you going to have, your guys ready at that time? And for Florida, it's like, hey, we're in year three of the playbook. All the stuff is the same. Just, get ready to go.
Nick, give me your opinion on Jeremy Pruitt so far. They've won game, I don't want to call them marquee games, but that year, you beat Auburn, you beat Kentucky with a pretty decent squad. Last year, I think the turning point for them was the Alabama game and how they performed in Tuscaloosa. And then they kind of go on that streak towards the end. I'm just kind of interested, as someone that covers Florida, but you do hear about Tennessee. Oklahoma and Florida in the same month of September, it's not the best thing in the world, but there has to be something out there that other writers or whatnot are looking at Tennessee and saying maybe they can put something together.
Yeah, I get a little bit, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I get a little bit of a Will Muschamp vibe from him. In the sense that he is, like, Will was first guy in the building, last guy out, such a hard worker, but almost like a horse with blinders on and not aware of, like, what the other pieces are doing because they're so focused on what they're doing and as a coach. And I guess the old analogy is, you need to be a CEO and kind of overseeing things more so than just, more so than a coach when you're the head coach, I guess. So I get that. It's not a knock on him, but
no.
Do you have the guys in place? Do you like your coaching staff? Are those guys going out and recruiting? Are they the guys that are coaching and doing stuff like that? And to me, Tennessee also, it's just like, it's always like a weird, rocky kind of start and, start 3-3 and then, win 4 of the last 6. It's just always kind of like a late surge. Tennessee seems to do well after that Alabama game.
I just have to
close strong and then
right.
Close strong and then we hear the Tennessee hype all off season.
Yeah, and you have to wonder now, is it time to strike? And I mean that a sense of we don't know what George is gonna do. We know JT Daniels got cleared. We know Jamie Newman is the front runner from the Heisman compared, from what we hear from Georgia writers.
They didn't give it to him already?
They didn't give it to him already, but I heard it's scheduled soon. I mean, I'm telling you, man.
They bought the postage for it. It's going
to
be
scheduled. Right. And the amount of talent that Georgia's wasted over the last 4 years to not have a national championship, you just always have to put a question mark beside the Bulldogs, Nick. And is it your feeling that they have – they have pieces in the places they need, but also there are these question marks out there that give Florida the opportunity, if they play well, to leap them. And then maybe in some crazy, weird way, there's a run for second place in the SEC East this year, because we don't know what the schedule is going to look like.
No, no, we certainly we don't. And what does the schedule look like if Florida go, or not Florida, if the SEC goes to a conference-only schedule? Does it get to a point where, okay, well, we can play, I mean, shoot, cancel the rest of the games. Give me a 13-game schedule and let everyone in the SEC play everyone. I'm down. The heck with the rest of the Power Five. Just give me that every year.
Right.
But what if you get to a point where it's like, hey, we can only play six games, and we're going to have everyone in the East play each other, and then everyone in the West play each other, and then whoever wins that is going to go and play for an SEC championship. Is that the case? Because I think depending on that, you know, just the way the schedule, you know, kind of works out, like you were just saying, Tennessee's playing Oklahoma and Florida in the same month. Well, if you don't have to game plan for Oklahoma and Florida, and you can spend more time on Florida, are you more prepared and maybe not beat up by the time one of those games comes? So the way the schedule lays out, it, you know, obviously remains to be seen, but that can absolutely change something. You talk about if the schedule comes out and Florida's got to play LSU maybe the week before Tennessee, and they, you know, because they're jumbling stuff up, how does Florida come out of it, you know, an LSU game? That's always a tough physical game. And maybe Florida drops the game to Tennessee. You know, we're sitting here talking about, can Florida leap Georgia? I think Florida could lose to, you know, drop a game to a Kentucky or a Tennessee, and now we're in a weird race.
That's a good point, man. September is always made, you know, the East Division that month for the money, and then Tennessee flips it up with Georgia. They played them in November now. So I'm very interested to see how this plays out. Hell, we might be playing four conference games in the month of September, Nick. I don't know what's going to go on. Right. I mean, let's just
give me games.
Right.
Just give me games, right?
Dude, I'll take a fall practice with them in shells right now. Woo. Before games. Just give me that.
Put flags on them. I'll cover some flag football.
That's badass. Nick Dellatore, man, tell everybody where they can find your work as you guys cover the Florida Gators, covering the SEC and whatnot.
www.gatorcountry.com for all my writing, and then you can come holler at me. It's Nick Dellatore GC on Twitter. You can tell me how wrong I was on the radio today.
That or how good Mose is, one or the other.
Oh, Mose is the best. Don't eat Chipotle. Hopefully that's not one of your sponsors.
It's not. Don't worry. That's good. Start fueling up, man. You've got
it's not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. You got a busy couple of days ahead of you in a couple of weeks, so have fun doing all that fun moving, and we'll talk soon.
Appreciate it, Trey.
All right, buddy. Be good. Nick Dellatore, GatorCountry.com. Really good friend. Got to know him over the last couple of years. Brings a lot of good stuff to the table, and just as an SEC as a whole.
Yeah. No, it was a good talk. I guess kind of know we're about to take a break, but a conversation I guess I wanted to have with you guys revolves around, I mean, that conversation had a lot to do with Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee.
Yeah.
And just kind of get your guys' take on where Tennessee should be at in year three, what you're expecting. And, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. I think we could have some interesting talks coming up here.
We're going to do that. Bear, we're going to take a break, brother, on the other side. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the first hour, kind of break down a little bit of the scheduling in the SEC East Division and their teams. Don't forget Nick Bromberg, 425 today, and then we got Jam or No Jam in the 5. So we're rolling along. It's The Drive. We're on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hello and welcome back into The Drive here on Fox Sports Knoxville. You're listening to Fan Run Radio. Just getting ready to talk about Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, the race for the SEC East. And I know for Bear, you, Russell, and Trey have kind of, obviously over the course of the offseason, talked about it some, but I guess I would say, to preface this, I am not as high in our chances against Florida and Georgia as I think most people are this year. Whenever I'm talking about the schedule, I have the Vols going 8-4. I predict that those four losses, if everything holds still with the current schedule, are going to be to Oklahoma, Florida, Alabama, and then Georgia. And so I guess I kind of wanted to get your guys' take on what your expectations are for Tennessee this year on the football field. And for this conversation, we're just going to assume everything is played as currently scheduled.
So we're playing Charlotte, Furman, and Troy.
Yeah, we're just – all that's still going to happen. And I think until we get information to state otherwise, it's probably the most optimistic take we can look at it from.
Me and Bear have talked about this. Bear, I sit at 9-3. I don't know where you sit at right now, but I sit at 9-3 in Tennessee upsetting one of the four horsemen.
If are we going under the assumption that the coronavirus doesn't exist in this hypothetical, right?
I mean, it still exists. It just doesn't alter the schedule.
I expect us to go 10-2.
Who are those two losses to?
My man.
I would imagine probably Florida. Or maybe Florida and probably Alabama. I don't like to concede anything, David.
Okay, I get that.
Maybe Georgia on the back end.
Year in and year out to beat Georgia.
Yeah. People will say
barring, this. Barring the past 10 years, they always, no matter how much talent they've got, they've always been good to come up here and or we go down there, kick their teeth in. They do the J-O-B. I've seen us go down there with some of our worst teams ever, and they've rolled over for us. If it wasn't for the fact that we hired, two consecutive coaches that should probably not have been put in charge of a Pop Warner football program, we would still be dominating Georgia in the all-time, record books. But yeah, I you will never get me to concede. I don't know.
Okay,
I would say 9-3 or 10-2. It's third year. That's what I expect.
No, I get that. I guess, and I want to say this. You what?
I don't think that's off. Like, I predicted 9-3. So,
I feel like we should be there. I just don't expect that to be the case. And like I said the other day on 3 and Out, in my adult life, so my first year on college at UT, it was Derek Dooley's last year. And then for undergrad, law school, my final year at UT was Jeremy Pruitt's first year. So I haven't exactly seen what we would call good football. And so I don't really have the outlook that I think a lot of people that are listening to this show have whenever you kind of got to see how great the team was in the 90s and the early 2000s. And there's that idea of like, really on any given Sunday we can or Saturday we can go in there and we're likely to win, because people probably won't like what I'm about to say. But in my mind, I know there are no such thing as moral victories. But I will be content if Tennessee is able to just keep it within two scores against Alabama, Florida, and Georgia this year.
Damn, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
See, like, a lot of people don't like that,
No, that's kind of a loser mentality.
It is.
Really. I mean, no offense.
It is. No, it is. It's absolutely a loser mentality. But, no. I mean, here's the thing. Like, so, according to Pruitt, Fulmer said there's three games that they judge you on as the head coach of Tennessee. That's going to be Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. Do you know what the closest Pruitt has come to beating one of those three teams? Or any of those three teams?
Probably Bama last year, wasn't it?
It was. And that was still a 22-point differential. And that was because their starting quarterback got hurt. So seeing as
but here's that the thing I hate about that argument is he didn't just we put his ass out of the game, and that's part of football.
Yeah,
I can't remember which one of our big boys was. We
Darrell Middleton,
fragile ass. Darrell Middleton broke him, and then God knows how that game would have ended up if Garatno hadn't gone renegade on us. And I meant to say this just a minute ago. The big unknown about this season and why I think I'm kind of hesitant on the 10-2 is simply because of uncertainty surrounding, quarterback play.
Well, I think for Tennessee to have a chance.
I feel like in almost every other position, I feel like we're ready to go. We're going to have one of the best offensive lines in the conference. I think our defensive line is solid. We got Gooden coming back. Secondary looks good.
I'm nervous about our front seven on defense, Bear. I'm really actually, like, if you're outside of quarterback, if you're telling me to look at a spot, that front seven, we don't have hardly any depth there. I mean, your starting linebackers are good, but outside of that, you have one guy go down, it could be a disaster.
I
agree to disagree. I think we're going to be tough up front.
Right, yeah. Now, I'll end with this one. Against Florida, Georgia, and Alabama, Jeremy Pruitt is 0-6 and has been outscored 255-84.
It's going to be tough. Look, there's no way of getting around. It's going to be tough, but I don't. This football team for Tennessee better not go out and lose by 17 to Georgia. They better not go out and lose by 20 to Alabama. You keep it close. And here's the thing. I think this Tennessee football team is actually good enough to do that this year. I think they're good enough to go into Athens, Georgia in November and put up one hell of a fight. I'm not buying the Georgia hype.
I am happy that's getting moved to Georgia, or moved to November.
Yeah, it takes. Yeah, there's too many big time games in September and beginning of October.
But if number two is your starting quarterback, 8-4 is that's the ceiling.
But why though? You've seen that there's times that the kid could come out and sling the ball around and play. I mean, let's be real honest. There have been games where he's come out and played pretty damn good. If he hands the ball, we got to take a break here in a second.
Not against those teams.
We got to take a break here in a second.
Not against those teams.
If he comes out and hands the ball off to Crouch and they score a touchdown, we're never talking about how crappy Jared Garantano is.
People want to say these things are flukes, but they're not flukes if they happen multiple times a year every year.
I get it, but he wasn't doing multiple QB sneaks on his own during that part. And if you want to put anything on the Georgia State game, that horrible-ass defense who gave up anything and everything to Sean Elliott. And then guess what happened the second game? That horrible-ass defense gave up a 75-yard pass to BYU that set him up to win the game. So I'm tired of people putting stuff on the offense when it was a damn defense.
We couldn't throw the ball in the game, Dre.
It doesn't matter.
We could not put the ball in the air.
It doesn't matter. It's your damn defense. We'll talk about that more other side. Drive, whatever.
The Drive.